Blog Talk Radio.
Legendary status. Big XL. Sam Pisa, a.k.a. TF. Where y'all gonna learn, man? You can't stop what's inevitable. It's the incredible. PZ, AKTF, dropping jewels, but they edible. I ate my vegetables, but he ate my spinach. Riding with Vic again, so no, we ain't finished. Legendary status, so no, you cannot copy. Riding dirty radio, so crispy, also sloppy. Enter to the street, so we know just what is needed. But keep it underground, staying down, cause we ain't greedy. This is where you find what is popping for the culture. Where we keeping it all fresh and stay away from all the vultures. No, scavengers here, just keeping it real. Big got it out the mud, but it's still so clear. So sit back, relax, and just let us lead you. If you're trolling for no reason, then we don't need you. It's Big XL, he can't be stopped. Riding dirty forever, the home of real hip-hop.
What up, world? It's your boy, Big XL, Riding Dirty Show, where we bridge the gap between hip-hop and everyday life, man. How y'all doing? Welcome, everybody who's checking us out as we stream live. One time for all the good people who follow us on all our socials. Let's get that out of the way. So one time for everybody over on Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, Bego, if you check out the show, at Riding Dirty Radio, salutes to you. Also, one time for WRFG, 89.3 FM Atlanta. And also, one time for the good people over at Ride 95. All right, now, this is the Riding Dirty Show. We bridge the gap between hip-hop and everyday life. We give a voice to the voiceless. We're the people setting the trends, not waiting for the trends to happen. We're providing platforms for all the movers and shakers of this world to come through and tell their story, all right? So please, if you're not checking us out live now, and if you're not checking us out 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. every Thursday night, Friday morning on WRFG 89.3 FM, please make sure you check us out on your favorite streaming platform, whether it's iTunes, whether it's Spotify, whether it's YouTube, Blog Talk, wherever, make sure you check us out, all right? So ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, today is no different than any other day on the Riding Dirty Show. So, let's welcome tonight's guest, artist, Mr. J. Ye. What's going on, my G?
What's going on with you?
Oh, man, it's all good in the hood. First thing I want to ask you, is it J. Ye? Did I pronounce that correctly?
Yes, sir, you did.
All right, J. Ye. Man, I'm very humbled. I'm very humbled and very thankful to have you on the platform today.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. I feel the same way as well.
All right. So, look, man, let's get into it. Moment in time with J.A. The first thing I'd like to ask you is let the world know where you're from and what's your initial introduction to this thing we call music.
I'm from Washington, D.C., and I do music because, like, that's the only time I think when people actually listen to me if outside of conversating with them.
Okay. All right. So, look, what's it like growing up in D.C.? What was it like growing up in D.C. for you?
I mean, it was crazy. Like, you know, my mom and my dad was very strict on, like, being outside a certain time and being around certain people. So, I mean, it was crazy, though. Like, I got into trouble and stuff, but then I, like, at a certain age, I kind of, like, slowed down as I got older.
All right, now you say slow down. Give me a definition of what you mean slow down, because if you say you slow down, That means you think you was going too fast. What you had going on, J.A.?
I mean, I was just getting into a lot of fights, a lot of trouble, And when I say slow down, like, I mean, it stopped at a certain age. I think, like, at 19, that's when I really, like, started to change my life and start doing different things.
Okay. All right. If you don't mind me asking, what type of trouble you were getting into? Were you a bad kid or you just a little mischievous?
I mean, I hung in like a little, I hung with a group, or I know groups of people. So I would hang out with certain people and get into trouble and stuff like that. Fighting, mainly fighting all the time, fighting at school, outside, or just getting into it, like, you know, arguing, you know. It's a lot of stuff that was going on during the time, like skating rings, playing basketball, football, tackle, football against different neighborhoods and stuff like that. So it was a lot of, like, different things going on that led to different fights and different incidents.
Okay, all right. Now, you said 19 you decided to calm it down. Was it your love of music that made you calm it down, or was it just you didn't want to get in any further trouble and bring that type of stuff to your household?
Oh, no, it was music that calmed me down, though. I started to stop thinking outside the street. I started thinking outside the street, like, I can't keep, like, you know, you listen to music and you talk about the hood and all that. Like, I started thinking outside the more the music I listened to, because I started to see that the streets weren't, like, it's not meant for people that last long, like, from what I was catching on to.
No doubt. All right, so let's get into the music. What other than you saying you feel like music is the only time you're being listened to, other than having a conversation, what led to, first of all, your love for the music, and what led to you actually pursuing it?
My parents, my dad, and my mom, like, before they passed, like, they always was, like, supportive of it, like, you know, of me, like, doing something where I'm, like, the attention on me, people looking, you know, because it started, like, in plays. Like, when I was growing up, I did a lot of plays and acting, so my mom and my dad come and see me acting in school. So I guess I did it because that's the only way I got people to watch me real closely doing something, like, that's not normal, like, doing something different, like acting or singing or rapping and stuff like that. And I had one point my dad and I was like dancing and singing to like old New Edition songs and stuff like that. So that support and then that effort that they put into like help me during that time, that was a big reason why.
Okay. All right. Now, as you began to start to pursue a career in music, what were the steps you took?
What other steps I took? I trademarked my name. I copyrighted my music, and I started to learn how to market myself, like to market better.
Okay. Now,
then network with different people.
Okay. Now, when you say market yourself, like, what are some of the things you feel like was most important in you marketing yourself?
I learned that it's a certain way you're supposed to market yourself as an artist. It's like you're not supposed to borderline spam, because that's meaning, like, you're posting content that's making, like, people, like, leave or not want to stay on your page for long or look at your content for long. So I just try to help myself not borderline spam when I have, like, new releases, new shows or anything that's, like, new content or all that. I try not to spam it. I try to, like, bring it out in a professional way, in a way where it's not, like, messy or demanding or begging or something like that.
Okay. Now, as an artist, How do you want to be remembered, and how do you describe your sound?
I want to be remembered as like an artist that knows the business side and outside of the technical music side. I also want to be known for like being versatile with my music, as far as like the way I write, the style wise and all that. And my music is more like, it's like straightforward, no sugarcoat. It's very like different. It's confident music. It's like just standing up, saying what I feel at any given time. Just having the audacity just to be creative and take it to the next level, and to not worry about the critics and who doubt me or who think that I should not be doing this at the age I am, or in general, just continue to do it, because it's getting better now that I'm learning and around the right people. But that's how I want to be remembered, and that's how my music is described.
All right, let's talk a little bit about D.C. D.C. has been an area that's been known for the go-go scene more so than hip-hop. What's D.C. like when you think of hip-hop and independent music? And do you think it's a very supportive area?
It's different go-go, but the hip-hop, I think it's something new for D.C. because, like, us having our own music that's not really, like, commercial, like, as the hip-hop culture of music, it's new, it's different. I mean, it's like any other like area that's into the music. It's like it has its ways, like has its favorites, and it has like the up and coming and the unknown that's not known yet. So it's just like any state, New York, Atlanta, and all that. It's competition though. There's some good artists out here, in the city. So now the artists out here in the city that's talented and can do their thing. What I think could be better is, like, they have more platforms like they do out in, L.A., New York, Atlanta. Like, they have a better platform where other artists could be known other than just Wale or any other artist that you may know of. Not a lot of known artists here. It's like a few. But outside of that, it's not a lot of artists known in the hip-hop culture. And,
all right, speaking of Wale, because Wale has definitely put on for D.C., how do you feel like an artist to the caliber of Wale, do you feel like he's brought the right amount of attention to D.C. when it comes to exposing other artists?
I mean, from what I'm hearing, yeah, I think he brought the attention because, like I said, other than him, it's not really another artist or any other artist that's really up there yet. But it's going to be artists up there, just like got to be patient and keep working at the craft. I look at it like that. Yeah, I think he put a pedestal for other artists to reach it. So that's, yes he did. So I'm appreciative of that because somebody got to break the record. I hope somebody do. In the meantime, he number one. In my honest opinion.
Definitely, no doubt. All right, now, as an artist, when did you actually start putting out music to the masses? What year?
I started in 2012. I was doing beats, like bringing out a little mixtape with beat samples. I had a feature with Coast to Coast. One of my beats was on a mixtape too, but like far as a complete artist, like recording all that, I started in 2016, and like my first song was "Pulling You On You," and then 6 months after that, that's when I started like meeting like different DJs, and I started doing shows in New York. I met DJ Envy and Ashley Yee. I met a few other people. But that's when I really took it seriously and then started being distributed on all platforms since 2016 to now.
Okay. All right. And what has changed as far as your style and how you navigate through the business since you started?
What changed is now I know how to like read contracts like far as different like things and like shows. Like I know how to read how much I'm getting, what rules I have to follow, if I have to pay additional fees outside of investing in a business with another artist. I know how to email booking agents to rent their club for a specific venue. I know how to market, like spend the ads on the locations of like where to promote the event or a song or anything I'm doing as far as marketing. Another thing, I learned how to, like if I'm posting things on my social media, I know how to use the right hashtags, the location, the right image size of the pictures and all that stuff. So I just learned a lot of stuff that I can pay somebody to do. I just learned how to do it on my own to save me money. I won't overspend trying to send traffic to different people across the globe.
All right. Now let's talk a little bit about the name J.E.A. That's kind of a unique name. How did that name come about?
Oh, man, it came about in 2008 when I was in college. I was doing music with a group, and I had a name, but I couldn't use it because it was trademarked by a movie company. So I just can't name it J.A. because I like Jay-Z and Kanye West. Like, I like their music because, like, it helped me, like, stand up to people that told me I couldn't do music, I won't be good at music and stuff like that. And they, like, their music on both sides of the spectrum, like, helped me in my life. Like, I lost both my parents. Like, Jay-Z lost his father. Kanye lost his mother. So I lost both my parents. Like, you know what I'm saying? I was in the streets. I went to college. Like, I grew up, you know, in a single mother home. I'm like the youngest in my family. So it's like I had a lot of similarity to both of them. So that's how I became named J.A. J.A. is really Jay-Z plus Kanye West equals me. That was the whole, you know, way that I made myself that name that I trademarked too. So I own the name, although, you know, it's connected to both of them.
Okay. Look, man, let's go back to losing your parents, because there are a lot of people who are listening to this live or might listen to this later that's maybe been through it or, you know, we're all possibly going to go through it. How did you handle losing both your parents, and what age were, you know, both your parents no longer in your life?
They both passed. I think I was like 24. Yeah, 24. They actually died like 6.5 months apart from each other. So it was like 24.
Ooh. All right. So, how did you cope with that? Even though you were an adult, how did you cope with that?
Well, I had a lot of support. I ain't gonna lie. I had a lot of support, like, from my school when I was in college. This happened when I was in college. So I had a lot of support from, like, a lot of the students, a lot of the staff. Everybody from the school reached out to me. Like, people were just, like, texting my phone or coming to my room, or if they see me, they, like, we'd go out to eat, or we'd go to, like, places like church, or go do different things just to clear my mind. Or they'd be praying around me, or just, you know, telling me to do something good. Or they'd send me texts like, calm down, don't do something stupid. And the more I seen that, the more it made me just focus on what I had to do.
Okay. All right. Now, how much of that energy, because, again, there are a lot of artists I know who've had to deal with the death of their parents. How much of that energy did you put into your music?
I put that energy in a lot of my music. Like, I try to continue it because them the only two people that, like, really, like, showed me the support, like, you know, outside the majority of the supporting cast I have. Like, they actually, like, was consistent with it a lot. So it's like, I just think about them, like, what they said to me before they passed away, like, you know, keep doing it, don't stop, and stuff like that. So I just dream about those the inspiring words they you know, said to me, and then I just keep it going from there. So to not stop. And when I do get like I want to stop, or you know, I ain't feeling it, I always think about those you know, those inspiring words, or just think about it, the times where, you know, I did the little performances with my pops, or you know, listen to my mother music and stuff, like listen to her play music and talk about learning the business. So I just take everything they tell me and just try to live it out like that. You know, I don't try to like play the victim and stuff like that, because that's not good. You know, I'm not gonna knock nobody that has to do that. But it, in my opinion, it's good for those who's experiencing it or haven't. Just, you know, put God first and just think about all the good things that they done, that they did for you, and what they said to you, and just you gotta live it. You gotta do everything they tell you, because you already been taught. So you gotta take what they teach you, and then, you know, utilize it in your own life.
No doubt. All right, man, you got a single dropping in 8 days. Let's talk about this single.
Oh, Keep 100, yeah, it's my 8th single I'm dropping. It's a serious song. I just try to set the bar with a lot of, like just thinking outside the box with the song. I just try to write something that was not, like, cliche. You know, like a party song, a relationship song, a song about, you know, doing something to somebody do this to me. I just try to write something different. It's more like a political song. It's like a political song. It's just something very serious and powerful, and it got a good message to it. And I'm just not playing on this song. Like, it's a very serious song to me.
All right. Who produced the record for you?
A guy named Mafia Music 202.
Okay. And how'd you link up with Mafia Music?
We went to high school together.
Okay. Another DC native.
Yeah.
All right. My last question before I let you run. Social media. We live in an era, if you're not on social media, it's kind of hard to move forward, especially when you're talking about pursuing an entertainment career. How has social media affected you, how you market, and being able to reach out and touch fans in an area that you can't get in your car and go see?
I think it's better nowadays, because I think back then was a little more harder. Because, you know, the internet wasn't effective as it is now. So I just think it's a lot more easy, and it's better, because not only the tools they use to market yourself, like now the knowledge they are putting out there for a lot of artists to learn how to be independent or to build their own record label is good. Like, I just think it's a good time for artists to just really take heed to learning the craft, the knowledge of music, the business side of music, and trying to get they like credit straight, so they can get business funding and all that. So it's a time where people should just do music like seriously and get finances forward. Just gotta put everything together, mentally, physically, especially spiritually, financially, all that. Put all that together, then you know, you never know what you can do.
All
when you got everything right there in front of you.
Okay. All right. How can people find you on social media?
They can find me at on Instagram at the moment until my website get uploaded. It's at JYaySense84. And my YouTube channel is JYA. And JYA Topic if you want to check out my songs other than my new single, Keep It 100.
All right. Is there a Twitter or a TikTok?
I'm on Twitter, but I forgot the name of it at the moment. But I'm not on TikTok at the moment. I'm not on there. I'm going to have to create one soon.
All right. Now, before I let you go, my guy, please remind the people of the name of that single, the date it drops, and where they can check it out.
The name of the single is Keep It 100, and it will drop on December 30th, 2022 on all platforms. And the video comes out on January 1st, 2023 on YouTube. And it'll be on all Spotify, Deezer, Amazon, and all other platforms. If you have other apps outside of the ones I just mentioned at first.
All right. My G, I appreciate you. Have a wonderful night.
You too. Good night. Have a good one.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, that was J-A. Y'all make sure y'all follow him on all social media at J-A-Y-Y-E-Fence84. All right, it's the Warfare XL. This is the Ryan Dirty Show. Until next time, peace.
Sacrifice the loss of God, a sweet to move, no.